numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly is behind the glass, and that is because we started early today with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger, unscripted with Bill, because we will talk to JVT and Stormy from Omaha in the College World Series a little later on. So Bill was kind enough to come in here a little earlier. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate y'all. Ice Cold Gambler says, I thought Tupac had the hit I Get Around, but no, it was Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. I learned something every Thursday wow. when crack is on. Yeah, well, they both had songs with that title. And hits with that title. Bama Sluggers. Crack always taking the high road while telling us what's on his mind. Hashtag respect. Oh, he's not going to take the high road for long.
Oh, no. I'm
Stay
getting
tuned.
Ready to go.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Cancer Free from Stage 4 says, when in college, I did yellow jacket security for hundreds of concerts in SoCal in the late 80s. By far, the most enjoyable show I ever did was the Beach Boys.
Wow.
Nothing but fun with attendees having a good time dancing to great music. R.I.P. Brian Wilson,
awesome.
He says. And then the numbers guys, Bill is so right. $5 or $10 is the perfect play for Sunday football 14 parlay. When I was in junior high, there was nothing better than when Beansy would bring in a stack of them white betting sheets.
You know, it's the parlay cards. Probably.
Yeah, that parlay cards.
Gil had them.
Can I just say this before we move on? Cancer Free from Stage 4 just reminded me of this because that's the title in his he beat cancer in 2019. Who's tweeting us, and thank you. The reminder is we were just talking about Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys and Sly Stewart from Sly and the Family Stone, Sylvester Stewart, who was Sly Stone. This has nothing to do with that, but it is in music and it is in my little world and my age group. Also, a tragic passing away of Ananda Lewis at the age of 52. I don't know if this means anything to anybody, but it does to me. When I was growing up and we were just sort of making our way in the music industry, she ended up on BET. She did a show called Teen Summit. She ended up as an MTV VJ. She was on MTV News. She was everybody's crush. She lived her life independent of thought. She was uninfluenced by anybody else. I always admired her for that. And then, sadly, she passed away because she did have stage 4 breast cancer. Oh. But she was one of these girls who she decided that she wanted to handle her stage 3 cancer in her own way. She did not believe in treating it with Western medicine. She thought that she could do something more homeopathic, and that did not work out for her. And she ends up passing away at the age of 52. And so those of us who knew her a little bit and were influenced by her, that was a big loss for us yesterday.
Oh, it's a shame.
Yeah. I'm so gutted by it. I was trying to come to terms with why. And I think it's just because we're of the same generation and did the same sort of things.
You know, Gil, MTV, when it first came out, I was like 10 years old. And I remember that was the Bible to me, watching those news people. Like you said before, you mentioned Kurt Loder and the different guys. The one guy had curly hair, Goodman, Mark Goodman.
Mark maybe. Goodman was one of the original
like
VJs.
All those, and there was a couple of the girls at night. They were really sexy girls, and they were fun. I remember that. That's why, you know, when Michael Jackson's Thriller, that was like a movie on MTV. That was like the biggest thing. They would announce when they were going to play it, what hour they were going to play it, and replay it. And that was a big thing to us. Now I don't even know what any of the stations are. Like MTV, do they even show videos anymore? I don't know.
I don't think they do. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I don't even know.
There
was another VH1, I think.
VH1.
Was that another network, right?
It was the same company, but a little older. It was a little older demo.
Yeah. And you mentioned during the break about, Bill, these people passing, which people that are like 50 or 60, what groups do we have that are, people that are that we're saying this about now?
Musical artists.
Yeah. Like that are getting into their primes now, or past their, even not past their prime, but,
Well, just with the Brian Wilsons and the Sly Stones of the world passing away, you think, oh my God, what's next?
What's next?
That kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it is. And we mentioned the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
I seen Tom Jones a couple of weeks ago. There's been AC/DC. I seen Brian Johnson just came out on stage and just pretty much stood still. Yet Angus Young was flying around the place with a little schoolboy outfit. So it just depends, you know, on individuals, though. All right, let's get into some...
Speaking of music. Oh, no.
So on the M2M podcast, which I watch religiously...
Which podcast?
M2M. It's called Miles to Memories. These two kids, they're good, though. They go over a lot of different subjects, one of which was the one kid worked at Caesars and how J-Lo and her mom got somebody fired there.
Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. And it's not the first time. This girl, I mean, how many, it's just the things that she is just so into. She's from the Bronx. She was born, you'd think she would know where she comes from. You know what I mean? But that's not the way she is. We've known the tipping situations with her ex-husbands. And, you know, she was married to, I don't know, was she married to Diddy? Was she married to whoever she was, these people that she was married to and stuff? Nobody could take her. They got to get rid of her. I mean, you know.
What are the details of her getting someone fired at Caesars, though?
They wanted a different room. So the mother wanted a room upgrade, and they demanded a room upgrade, and the employee did the best they could, but they couldn't do it, and they fired the employee. Yeah.
They fired the employee.
Oh, sure. She goes to the top, and they fire. It's J-Lo, you know. Then again, it's the Caesars Corporation. What do you expect? You know?
That's brutal.
They throw anyone out that wins. So what do you want to do with them?
Wow.
But yeah,
she claims to still be Jenny from the block, though, I must tell you.
Yeah, give me a break. Yeah. You know, speaking of which, now we haven't went over these Bruno Mars, the gambling situation.
We haven't talked about it. We never talk about this.
No, we haven't talked about it at all.
Before you even launch into it, would you agree this is the most widely known, let me not use the word known, the most widely bantied about rumor that exists in Las Vegas?
Oh, it's not a rumor.
It's not a rumor.
It's out there now.
Okay, so let's just say widely known.
Yeah.
We've known this for years.
Yeah.
Okay. So
how can you not? He used to put videos out. All these kids at home watching him on these videos play roulette, and when he had $1 million spin or $2 million spin, or even, you know, he would put these videos out acting, you know. And there was another guy. Was it Drake? I don't know. There was another.
What's the Bruno? What are you talking about? Let everybody know.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that. No, I'm just saying that these guys put videos out of them gambling big.
Yeah.
And the kids all say, "Ooh, you want $1 million playing roulette? I got to do that." And then, you know, of course, destruction. So now he owes.
Allegedly
owes, you know, tens of millions of dollars to a casino. And he's working off his debt.
So this is what is part and parcel with his rumor is the reason that Bruno has all of these residencies in perpetuity, it feels like, in Las Vegas, right? He's always here. Yeah. He's like furniture in Las Vegas at this point. By the way, he's spectacular.
Oh, great.
Let me put that
out. I seen him too. I thought he was great.
He's the Michael Jackson of this generation.
Oh, he's fantastic.
But the reason that he keeps doing residencies is not because he wants to necessarily. It's because he has to pay this off.
And trust me, I wouldn't be talking about the guy.
Yeah.
And even if listen, I feel bad for anyone that owes money, and the casinos, you know, enable you to do a lot of these things too. We make our own decisions, but there's a lot of enabler things going on too. But I go after him a little bit because of what he did social media wise and showing kids how to gamble and how fun it is to win. And when, you know, so that's why I'm saying it. So, working off his debt and, allowed to still gamble, I'm told he's still gambling at place, you know. And listen, I'm not saying the guy's broke, but I do personally know someone that he owed many hundreds of thousands to, and he paid him. It just took him a while. Mm. So, but again, all these people that want to put their, you know, Jay-Z, you know about this bet, right? The million?
We mentioned it earlier.
You mentioned it earlier?
Yeah. Thanks. OKC and five. There goes a million.
Yeah, $1 million.
Yeah.
That goes
Fanatics
out there.
Fanatics took $1 million for it? Really?
Yeah, well, Fanatics is going to take anyone that, you know, that's they don't know. And by the way, there was a great tweet on this because the odds were so bad on these type of bets. I made a copy of the tweet, and I'm glad I just remembered. Jay-Z losing $1 million on Thunder winning finals in five games perfectly captures why celebrity betting gets so much attention while missing the actual story. The real angle isn't the lost wager. It's that +230 odds for Thunder winning in exactly five games was terrible value to begin with. And it just shows you about a model and game three. It's just mathematically nonsensical. You could have get more value betting on a straight series at most books. And that's Betts_Liam. I don't want to give him credit for the tweet. But anyway, it just shows you, though, that of course they'll take these bets because those type of bets that are a futures bet that are one-way action.
Mm-hmm.
One way. You can't bet two ways. You can't bet yes and no. You bet one-way action.
We were just talking about MLB props just like this yesterday.
Yeah. The hold is double-digit It could be 30, 40, 50% some of the certain markets. So terrible bets, terrible way to bet things. Yes and no. Right here behind us, they take yes and no on a lot of things. I like
Circa.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the yes and no things. So.
Wow. By the way, did I ever tell you my my closest proximity to Bruno at the Hard Rock back in the day?
Oh, no.
In the Hard Rock Guild days?
Okay.
You know the restroom at the Hard Rock that used to, if you went by Pink Taco, there was the restroom on the right side there.
It's like right across from Pink Taco.
Exactly.
I remember
right
that.
Across. Yes. Let's just say.
Like an island thing.
Let's just say the cops came in and they caught Bruno.
Wow.
I was just leaving.
Wow.
And they caught him in a compromising position.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So let's leave it at that.
The Hard Rock days.
Now, let's talk about a good thing real quick before we go to break. I thought this year's coverage of the Belmont, which is at Saratoga, was fantastic.
Chris Felica. Yes.
It was so good. I wish I recorded it. Terry Bradshaw, Bobby Flay talking about the history of things. Art Rooney's grandson talking about the history of the track, the history of the town. Christopher Clement, a trainer that died at 59. John Morrissey, who was a bare-knuckle boxer that started the track 160 years ago.
He fought like this. That's how he fought.
Like that,
that's
right.
That's how he fought. Yeah. Bill
Mott's 2-year-old granddaughter that passed. It was such a great coverage of the history of the track. And, you know, I used to go every single year with my buddies when I lived back east. And even though I didn't bet horses a lot, the history of that racetrack, the Whitneys, the Barrymores, and the Krakenbergers.
And and of course, Secretariat flying around the track.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Such an original casino. People don't know the Canfield Casino Center in the Commerce Park, I think it's called. That casino was one of the first casinos ever 140 years ago. Then Bugsy Siegel and Meyer Lansky owned it. And people don't know that. And there's a lot of history in Saratoga.
Did you have Sovereignty, by the way?
No, I didn't bet the race.
More with the Crack Man right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming back.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're into futures wagering, fantasy, or just like the thrill of calling your shot, you need to check out xcuta.com. That's X-C-U-T-T-A. It's basically the future of how we play. Think of it like combining a live auction with the strategy of sports betting. You choose who you want to bid on, players, teams, golfers, even horse racing. Over 1,000 athletes and teams to choose from across every major sport. You set the terms, build your own auction, and invite your friends to play. You can even start auctions for free. It's like creating your own mini sportsbook with your crew, and it's addictively fun. Here's the hookup, though. Email support@xcuta.com. Mention VSiN, and they'll send you a special 3-month player promo code to get started. Again, that's xcuta.com, X-C-U-T-T-A. Futures wagering just got a serious upgrade. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Always appreciate it. Jamie Leva, thank you for bringing up Ananda Lewis. She was a big part of my youth. She was a spring break must-watch, RIP. Yes, she was. Jack Olaquire, Gil, besides being a lifelong White Sox fan, also a lifelong Beach Boys fan, saw many of their concerts live over the years. For me, the music died yesterday. R.I.P. Brian Wilson. Justin Gilo, he tells us, crack, he says, there's a channel on YouTube TV called MTV Classics, and it shows 80s music videos.
Oh, wow.
So not MTV standard, but MTV Classics.
Cool.
Yeah. Buddhist Man, spitting some Eric B. and Rakim here.
My man.
He said, side note, second best horn sample ever. Only trailing They Reminisce Over You by Pete Rock and CL Smooth. They Reminisce. Oh. Bank on It Sports. Question for you and crack in light of the Bruno situation. What's the most you ever owed someone and for how long? Oh, man. Not long. Pay it off. Here's the thing. That's the biggest thing in gambling. If you, there is no shame in losing, but know your limits. Be able to pay your debts. So many don't.
You know, fast pay makes lasting friends.
What's that?
Fast pay makes lasting friends.
There you go.
And, you know, in our industry, in our business, you know, when I lived back east and playing with all different people, and, you know, I know I'm going to win overall, so I know I'm going to have more winning weeks than losing weeks. I would try to pay Monday, like Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Some of the books would end Monday night back in the day. Tuesday, I want to pay because I want to be paid, but I know I'm going to be paid more, so I want to be paid on Tuesday. So that you want to pay right away. That's the idea. So, but in our business though, there's floats all the time. There's you float on your carry as a carry balance, whatever it may be. You know, And, you know, it is what it is.
The numbers guys. Have you guys ever talked about that Ashton Kutcher story about him acting as a front for a large syndicate? These celebs would seem to be the perfect beard.
We have talked about that a little bit. Now, if you listen to, there's a great book. It's I listened to the book on tape, actually, by which is called Audiobooks now, Bill. They're called Smart Money by Michael Koenig.
Oh, great book.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Rick Big Daddy Matthews is Billy Walters, so we know that now. But yeah, Ashton Kutcher was one of the guys there. Yeah, no, he's absolutely right. There was a couple beards that they talked about that were big celebrity guys, and you know, some of the big bettors over the years were Bruce Willis, Ashton Kutcher. Again, I think I told you the guy in Con Air. I always forget his name. Con Air. Who's the star? Con Air.
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's been some big. But that's a great audiobook. It's a good read too, but I have problems reading. Like I have terrible ADD, where I used to be my favorite subject, my best subject, but now by page 10 it doesn't make sense because I don't remember what the first 9 pages were.
Oh, interesting.
Were. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I used to love reading, but the audiobook, Anthony Curtis of Las Vegas Advisor just put a lot of his books on audio, and it's fantastic books on audio. There's an Advantage slot book out by a friend of mine, Michael Kaplan. It just came out a couple weeks ago, and it's just fantastic that it's on audio. So audio books are the way to go for me anyway.
By the way, one of the great Sloan Sports Analytics Conference gambling panels of all time. This is how great MIT Sloan Sports Conference used to be. Michael Koenig, who wrote that book.
Right.
Andrew Giroud,
yeah,
who developed the algorithm for the Midas algorithm for Cantor Gaming's in-game stuff. A British derivatives trader, and Dr. Bob. It was just so amazing back then.
Wow.
Montreal Max, the Bruno Mars story takes us back to the days of Sinatra, blowing large money in the casinos he played, and famously Colonel Parker of Elvis fame, keeping Elvis playing the International because he was so deep into the casino, and even more recently, Celine Dion's late husband,
yes,
was losing big.
Yeah, but I mean, he paid his debts, and
he
was actually a very good guy. Celine Dion's husband was a good person. I know some people that he helped out. Good person. Colonel Parker, not a good person. And yes, great information there. Didn't come out till later in life from a lot of the taking care of business gang there. They you know, kind of ratted him out a little bit. He wasn't a good guy, and he was in debt. He's right, at the International back then. And what was the first one? The first big gambler there? On the
Sinatra.
List? Oh, Frank.
Yeah.
You know, I had on Nifty Vickerson on my show. He was his...
Nifty Vickerson.
Yeah, he was his right-hand man for 15 years.
He was a great nickname.
His valet. He did every, you know, he was just there for him on every show. He talked about some of the things that, you know, some great stories about Sinatra. It didn't come out until after he died, and it didn't really come out now. There's probably nobody that raised more money, hundreds of millions of dollars, for charities than Frank Sinatra. Elton John's also a big one, but Frank Sinatra gave away a lot of money, went into his pocket for a lot of things that paid for funerals and different things that no one even knew. You know, for all the bad, because he had some bad stories, you know, around about Frank, short-tempered and didn't go for a lot of things. Matter of fact, Nipsey said he had to have Campbell's soup, the red cans, that's right, red cans of Campbell's soup, a vegetable soup, chicken vegetable, before every single show.
Really?
And they were in Michigan somewhere, Kalamazoo, I think he said, and they couldn't get the soup, and he flipped out. And he, next day back in New York, or 2 days later, he's like, Nifty, I got 24 cases coming. Every single show, make sure this soup's at my show. He has to have there was red Lifesavers. There were certain things that he had to have.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
But I love the stories. But
by the way, there's a Food Across of the Food That Built America series that's on
great
the History
series,
Channel.
Gil.
It's so awesome.
It's so good.
And the Campbell's soup episode was one of the great ones, how it took them forever to figure out.
Like
the stuff that we take for granted.
Right, right.
It took them forever to figure out how to put condensed soup in a can.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the way, I wouldn't recommend it.
No.
Oh, God. Now it comes out how bad these canned things are. I mean, it's and that factory in Camden, New Jersey, one of the garden spots of the world.
We might have missed something here on the Jay-Z story. Jay-Z, who we were talking about, Ben Fox, reporting a million-dollar bet on OKC to win the NBA Finals in 5, which obviously is a loser. James Fessler at Mizzou Soldier, he says, another layer to the Jay-Z bet is that he's an original investor in Fanatics. So how much is he getting back, or was it just a marketing ploy?
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Ryan Kleinfelter adds, I wonder on this Jay-Z finals bet if this is just a marketing stunt, and that is why Fanatics took the wager. I haven't heard anyone mention this, but Michael Rubin, the owner of Fanatics, has a close relationship with Jay-Z.
You know, I got something to say that's going to be shocking. I wasn't planning to say it. It just hit me when you said Fanatics. So I know we're I'm tough on a lot of sports books for throwing people out and limiting people to $100 or a dollar. I wish I could limit it to 100 at some of them. I don't know a single casino sports book that won't throw you out long term for winning certain type of bets. That's right. I can't name one. I can't name one. And I'm talking about the biggest books, Pinnacle, Offshore, the biggest casinos, everyone in this town, everyone nationwide. I can't name a casino that will not stop you from winning certain type of things. By the way, Joe Public's allowed to bet certain things that I'm talking about, but I'm not. That's what I'm talking about. So even the ones that you think are the big boys, every single one, I can't think of a casino. That's pretty big statement. Every casino will throw you out for winning in certain situations.
Certain situations.
Not cheating, could you not be doing anything wrong.
Could you be
just using your brain?
More specific. And we're just.
I'm not allowed to bet baseball parlays. Boston Red Sox and under. Home team and under.
Yeah.
Boston plus $1.20 and under 7 runs. I'm not allowed to bet if they're home. It's a stupid little correlation. It's not worth hardly anything, except on certain pitchers that we thought were better in this situation, closing bullpens and stuff. And I'm not allowed to bet them, I don't think, anywhere in this town, including Circa. I'm not allowed to bet them anywhere.
Remember, I think I told a Wishnev story that was similar to this. So when he was betting at the Westgate years ago, and again, we've talked about this before, it was available to bet on the app. So one of these things.
You can bet it if you want on your app.
Right.
I can't bet it.
Oh, no, but he, so this, yeah. No, I'm back in the day, Wishnev. He bet something on his app, very similar to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He bet something on the app. They approached him in the sports book and they said, you don't do that again or we'll throw you out. He's like, what are you talking about? What did I do? Right? It's like, so it's, if it's available mechanically to be bet on your app.
It's one of my subjects.
No one would know not to do it. And so I just remember Wishnev being like, well, I wouldn't have done it if you had told me not to, but it's there. Like, how would I know?
It's not our fault that your apps take these things.
That's right.
So if you have a busted algorithm or whatever it may be, it's not our fault that you accept certain parlays and stuff. It's just we've conditioned society to think that parlays are normal and it's fun to bet same game parlays and all these other things. So now if we found, I'm not going to say flaw, but for lack of a better word, a flaw where I feel I have a little bit of an edge of betting something correlated, it's not my fault that your kiosk or your app takes that bet. So it's so stupid to make someone stop betting that too, because I'm just going to have Gil or somebody else bet it. I mean, you're not even going to know about it until you get hit for a couple thousand. Rather than just take a small bet from me and learn from me, if that's what you're saying, I'm so sharp. But no, they just want to throw people. And this is a blanket statement on the entire industry.
It was a fast-moving morning at the U.S. Open. It has been pretty stagnant since. We'll update the leaderboard. On the other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by our own Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide, I should say, to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now. Get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide dropping July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited-time offer. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code BOOK. That's promo code BOOK to sign up. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Let's roll through, because we don't have that many bets today, but let's roll through what we have, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Each show, every host, every guest, every sport, with all their plays. I'm on the Pacers, +6, game 4. I was on the Pacers, plus the points last night in the contest. And as an actual bet, I don't have any more contest plays, but I'll be betting the Pacers yet again. Give me the points. Also have the Tigers' most wins in June going, and Leon Draisaitl to win Conn Smythe, but the Oilers gotta get off the schneid. Well, they do have one win, so it's not off the proverbial schneid, but you get what I mean. They're down 2-1 to the Panthers. Oilers, not quite a must win, but kind of must win, if you know what I mean, in game 4 tonight in Florida. Kelly is on the Thunder money line game 4. I suppose we could both win then by that outcome. So he's on the Thunder money line game 4. And again, if you're thinking about betting the Pacers on the series price, probably should just bet the Pacers on the money line in game number four, because the chances of them winning the series without winning game four, probably slim, and you get a better price on the game four money line than you do on the series money line price on the Pacers. All of that brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Once again, the GBank trifecta in full effect. The $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. To trigger the $500 trifecta, you'll receive $200 in cashback rewards. On your GBank Visa Signature credit card, First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to vsin.com/gbank. That's vsin.com/gbank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. We got tweets at Beating the Book. This is from, let's see, Rich PSM. Kelly, you're missing the huge ingredient the Thunder forgot to add. Even Indiana has a veteran with rings to make key plays under pressure. Robert Horry, Chauncey Billups. That's why they'll lose. This. Okay. I assume he means Pascal Siakam in terms of that. Montreal Max. I forgot during the first week of the French to compliment Gil and his flawless pronunciation of all tennis players' names weekly. Well done and not easy. And, well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Steve the Proxy. R.I.P. Ananda Lewis. Yes, a beautiful spirit. So sad to see her gone way too soon. Fun fact, she won a beauty pageant as a child with a self-choreographed dance to Ebony and Ivory by Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney. Yeah, like I said, what a beautiful soul and spirit. A lot of us were really moved by that yesterday. Oh, yes, and Mike Rouse. I got to bring this up right now. Are you planning to discuss the golf betting lawsuit with Crack, the lawsuit you discussed on Monday? Yes, Crack. I need you to chime in on this. So a dude in Iowa,
right?
$14.2 million he's suing DraftKings for. He, after the third round of the Pebble Beach Pro-Am mm-hmm. last year, 2024, after the third round, he saw the weather forecast and he said, oh, they might not play this. So I'm going to put in, this is him talking now, this is me acting like he's talking.
Sure.
He goes ahead and puts in parlays where you could do exact positions on the leaderboards. So what he did with the possibility of them scuttling the entire final round, fourth and final round, he ends up putting in parlays on everybody's finishing position, 1 through 20, I believe right. it was. Anyway, they scuttle the fourth round, as it turns out. They call the tournament after three rounds, and he, quote unquote, makes $14.2 million. Now he's suing DraftKings. DraftKings is like, we're not paying you. I said on Monday, I'm like, well, at first I was on the sportsbook side, then I kind of see what he's saying. I'm not really sure. You?
If it's in the rules that they must play 72 holes, then of course DraftKings has their case and it's over.
I don't think that was in the rules. Okay. I don't think it said 72.
Okay, so if it didn't say they have to complete four rounds of golf, if it didn't say that, you know, he maybe got a little greedy. He could have not won $14 million.
I was going to say.
I mean, he could have won, you know, a couple hundred thousand, and they may have just said, give him his money so we don't have to get the bad press. But instead he went the greedy route, $14 million, and, you know me. I'm on the side of the players 99.9% of the time. So it matters the wording of this. I don't see him getting a grocery dollar.
You don't see him getting a grocery dollar from it.
No, he may get his $300 back.
The DraftKings, let's see, the DraftKings rule was, let's see, unilaterally voided, all five of his bets refunded, citing rules on futures bets, which state they are canceled if they are placed after the last shot of what is later deemed to be the final round of the tournament.
How can they even, why even get, listen, and you know me, like I said, 99.9. Why is this even a case then? If that's the rules and the stated rules, and you took a shot at them without reading the rules, which most people do anyway, I don't even read all the rules on certain things. So there's so many rules. You'd be here to, you know, the end of time. So it shouldn't even be a case.
What they are claiming is that there's other language that then counters that one, that makes it a little more vague. So that's where it becomes a bit of a word salad. So what they're saying is they're applying rules however they feel like it, given the circumstance. So in this case, they apply that language.
Yeah, yeah.
That's their claim.
No, well,
you're probably right, though. They probably don't see it all.
Trust me. I like I said, this is in this case, I have to side with a sport. You're betting on an event after it's over. You're betting. You're betting an event after the event's over.
He clearly knew what he was doing and was taking a shot.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
But I'll tell you again. I'm telling you, Gil, if he would have won $100,000,
they'd have given it to
avoid the bad press, they would have gave him the money.
Yeah.
Now, just because I know what happens. You got guys like Vegas Paulie C put a video out, a tweet. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what 11 to 10 means. But all he does is put out DraftKings owes them money because it's a, you know, it's the buzz. What's that? There's a show, TMZ. It's the TMZ of, you know, whatever social media it is. So it just makes DraftKings look bad. And I'm, you know, like I said, I don't really like to go after unless I know I'm 100% right.
You know what the lawyer is claiming here? I don't know if he's just pulling this out of his, you know what, but he says the rules that DraftKings had in place at the time of the tournament did not allow them to void the bets. They changed the rules after the tournament.
Well, that's different then. There could be some settlement here.
Maybe.
And trust me, I'm not allowed to bet at DraftKings, so I'm not allowed to bet on their app. I say I'm not allowed. I'm limited to a couple grocery dollars. At the counter, they're very good to me. They take $1,000 bets, so they're very good to me. Until that time, I'm not going to, you know, look for reasons to go after them or anyone else.
Thank you, Mike Rouse, for reminding me to bring that up with Crack, though. I intended to do that on Monday. Okay, and then there's something else that's annoying you.
Oh, no, this I mentioned on my podcast, the Hall of Excellence at Fountain Blue. They have this thing, and Tom Brady in collaboration with Jim Gray. I'm not a Jim Gray fan to begin with. So
the Pete Rose thing?
Yeah, not even more. He did a couple things in life that I wasn't a fan, just to get himself some press. So they have this fountain at Fountain Blue. It's a Hall of Excellence. It's all different memorabilia from the different athletes. Tiger Woods' first ball from the first Masters he won, and like all different type of things like that. Tom Brady's, a lot of his memorabilia, and there's some great, by the way, some great things there. Air Jordan's first pair of Air Jordans that he ever had came out with, the bat used by Jackie Robinson to break the color barrier. There's some great things at this.
Did you say first Air Jordans that he ever wore? Is that what you said?
Michael Jordan's first pair of Air Jordans in 1984, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And also the first NBA championship shoes that were worn by Michael Jordan.
Jackie Robinson's first bat?
Jackie Robinson's first bat. Some really cool things.
Wow.
Super Bowl rings, Muhammad Ali's gloves he wore against a great fight against Shivalo. There's some great things here. My thing is, why are you charging $35 to get in?
I knew that.
$20 for kids to get in.
Yeah.
Do you know the foot traffic? Something. By the way, I'm only mentioning one or like five things. It's 150 items here. But I just think about, you know, us walking through Hard Rock and all the stuff we see for free memorabilia.
Yes.
And
all
it's
of that
good
rock and roll
walk-in
stuff.
Traffic.
Yes.
You know, you get walk-in traffic and people come in, and then now what do? They come in for free to see the thing. Let's gamble here. Let's go to Mother Wolf and
exactly.
Spend $500.
Yeah.
Let's gamble a little bit. This is just, I can't take the gouging. And that, listen, it's too strong of a word, gouging, for this situation. I don't mean to say it. But why not just have the foot traffic come into your casino? You're a failed casino. You're doing very, the guy that runs Fountain Blue, Mark, you know, he's in the marketing and stuff. He doesn't even like gamblers. One thing about Derek Stevens, I said it yesterday, even Steve Wynn, they were gamblers, so they love gamblers. Derek Stevens loves gamblers because he gambles. He gets it. He knows the pulse of the industry. So, but these casinos with guys with college degrees that never gambled before and don't know the pulse of the industry. I use that word a lot. It's a shame that, listen, I understand this is a great thing to do if you're coming from out of town. You want to. I'll stick by what I said. You can't be charging $20 to get in, $35, $20 for kids to get in just to see some memorabilia where, you know, it's not like you're going to the Boxing Hall of Fame where you're going to pay to get in, or even the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
100% agree.
You know what I mean? It's Vegas. It makes great foot traffic. Why charge people?
That was part of the Hard Rock's charm.
That's
all of that memorabilia.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Free for your eyes to see.
Yep.
Bill, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
Crackman. Bill Krakenberger, everybody. At Bill Krakenman with a K on Twitter. Wisecracks, the name of his podcast. Stormy and JBT live from Omaha, the College World Series next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Live from Circa, numbers game, Gil Alexander, Kelly Billen alongside as well. Hey, real quick, update to the U.S. Open leaderboard. It started out real fast for a bunch of golfers in the first round of the U.S. Open at Oakmont in Oakmont, Pennsylvania. It has gotten pretty stagnant since. But J.J. Spawn has not given any strokes back. 4-under through 15. He is the leader by 2 shots over Siwoo Kim, Gary Woodland, and Thomas Dietrich. A 3-stroke lead over some bigger names like Ludwig Ober and Rory McIlroy. That's where it stands right now. J.J. Spawn, who has pretty much led coast-to-coast thus far the first round of the United States Open from Oakmont. So obviously we'll have full coverage and live betting notes from the tournament all day long right here at VSiN. In the meantime, most of the network is having themselves a ball. They're in Omaha, Nebraska for the College World Series. What a scene down there. This is at Rocco's Pizza and Cantina in Omaha. Check it out. Look at the old Jell-O Shot Challenge. Look at that. We, of course, VSiN hosts, have our own odds associated with that. I believe that Derek Stevens himself, the owner of Circa, is still the short shot to win it. And there is the two co-hosts of Money Moves, which follows us, each and every day here on the network. Stormy Bonatoni and JVT live from Rocco's. How you guys doing?
Good. It's been a fun start already. We've already seen the first Jell-O shots, by the way, be purchased at the counter. Coastal Carolina with an early lead, JVT.
So I feel great, Gil. I feel plucky and spry and ready to go. And in no way, shape, or form do I already feel the effects of a first night out here in Omaha.
No, that doesn't sound suspicious at all. Derek Stevens plus 350 in the VSiN Jell-O Shot Challenge. The field now at 4-1 is in second. JVT has been steamed to plus 550. Stormy. Still feisty at plus 825. All right. Good luck to you guys on that.
Hey, I like that I got a little bit of an adjustment there.
Yeah.
Down from the 12-1. I'm getting played, guys. I'm getting played. That's exciting.
A little inside baseball, though. If you want to go and get down on some inside information, if Mitch Moss is going to do what he did last night, I'd run out to bet Mitch Moss.
Oh, right. Wow. Okay. That is some inside information. Hey, what about – so let's just talk about the games themselves for a second. I want to get your thoughts. JVT, you on the NBA. Stormy, obviously, you on Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. But about the College World Series, do you have any bets for the two games today, either of you?
I mean, I don't have anything individually. I do have an LSU to win it all ticket at 6-1. So we're going to be purchasing Jell-O shots because we are a very pro LSU show. She's got her loyalties, as do I. So I'll be sitting there and sweating that out. And we'll have some action, I think, too, because we're going to be sitting in there and we could just cross the skywalk to go over to Iowa and get in on some of this stuff, too. So for the games that are going to start tomorrow, maybe just for one while we're sitting there watching the late game, Gil, but I'll be sweating out this LSU future.
Yeah, no first game action for me just yet. But with the way that the regionals and super regionals played out with so many upsets, I do like just taking a shot on Murray State in some way, shape, or form. Have a little fun. Don't let the Racers get hot. See if they can pull off a Fresno State in 2008, something like that. And then Matt Grissom, who we're going to have on the show coming up in just a little bit on Money Moves, in one of his write-ups about the College World Series, he recommended the angle of backing the loser of Arkansas LSU, just getting like a little bit of a better number if you're somebody who's just jumping in on the College World Series odds. And I think that's something that I might take as an approach too.
Right, because one of those two SEC teams, if they are to get to the promised land, they will do it from the quote-unquote loser bracket, because obviously LSU and Arkansas playing each other tomorrow. Two games tonight are the two games in bracket one, Arizona, Coastal Carolina, with Coastal a minus 230 money line favorite, and Louisville, Oregon State, with the Oregon State Beavers independent minus 160 favorites over Louisville here. By the way, just this before we move away from the College World Series, for those who are like, okay, I want to just bet on this based on crowd support, what are your two guys' feelings on the most representative of these clubs at this point?
I mean, it's everything we're talking to, everybody we're talking to, we keep hearing LSU. Like, that's at least everything that I have heard up to this point. So, like, we're talking about, you've brought this up, throwing tailgate skill for, like, before games that they're not even playing in, things like that. So, I would say if you're just going on home field advantage, it sounds like the Tigers are going to have a lot of support just talking to people out here.
But I would also say, and coincidentally, Arkansas being the team that they're playing and the favorite to win it all right now, they've been apparently telling everybody, just wait for us to get out here. So we'll see if that maybe changes the game a little bit. But I've been to the College World Series in the past, and to JVT's point, years that LSU's not even in it, they're tailgating and their fans are out here. So now that their team is so good and has such a good chance to win it all once again, I feel like they're going to have the advantage here.
All right. Is this a situation where you guys are broadcasting from Rocco's, where people are going to be all like on top of you when you're doing your show today?
Oh.
Yes.
Yes, I'm so excited. So
tomorrow more so than today. Yes.
And this is, so Gil, you know, with it, you have the radio background, so when you would do remotes and you would go out, I am a man of the people. I'm going to be distracted tomorrow. Like, when this thing starts popping, there's going to be people. So for the layout, for our audience, right in front of us is, like, the Jell-O shot bar, like, behind the cameras and stuff. You can't see it. So people will be coming in front of us and behind our wonderful crew to be buying the Jell-O shots. This thing will get a little bit more packed as the time goes along. So, yes, it will be very full. I am very excited, and I will probably get in trouble because I'll be talking to people as they come walking by. I'm very excited.
Stormy is looking at you like, oh, great. That sounds great, JVT. That should be really professional.
No, he's not kidding, though. He's been saying it even the whole time we're sitting here. He goes, oh, God, I'm going to get distracted today. I'm going to get distracted. So I'm mentally preparing. It's going to be awesome, though. And they've already been so hospitable. The owner here, Kevin, has been so great welcoming us last night and kind of giving us the lay of the land of how this all works and when the Jell-O shots kick off and the story behind it all. And we'll get into a lot of that throughout the course of the next couple of days.
All right. I don't want to steal any of your steam before Money Moves, which starts at the top of the hour. But let's get 2 minutes on hockey and 2 minutes on basketball. Stormy, let's start with the Stanley Cup Final. Game four tonight, Florida up 2-1 in the series. They're a -146 favorite in game number four. Like the NBA, maybe not quite as dramatically, but game four up 2-1. I mean, this is so important in a way that could really be the fulcrum game of the series. How do you see this going tonight at sunrise?
Well, and it's interesting. I think that because of the way that the game three played out in Sunrise and the dominant performance that Florida had and the agitation with which they brought, everybody is very much so counting out Edmonton altogether. And we had so much talk through two games. Is there any real differentiator between these two right now and the way that they're playing? Not so much. And then you go to game three and it's a blowout and it's all Florida and Florida has to win the rest of it. I'm not sure I necessarily see it that way. And maybe I do have some bias built into that, that I thought Edmonton coming into the series was very much so capable of winning it, and I like them to win it. But for me, Edmonton's got to come out with desperation tonight so that they're not put in true desperation mode, being down 3-1, with Florida after this. So today is a huge critical game. I know we hate saying must win this early in a series, but that very much so feels what it is to me today. And I don't have a bet on the side. I have props, and we'll get into them. I like Evan Bouchard over his shots on goal today. You can probably ladder those. He's somebody that's been cashing that significantly, and there are a few other angles. But side, I don't have one pick today. I lean Edmonton. I lean over, even though everything about the ice tells me it should be an under, yet here we are.
Yeah, don't give it all your bets, because I want people to tune into to Money Moves here at the top. But last thing here on this, if Florida ends up winning this, I asked this of some of our hockey experts earlier in the week. If Florida ends up winning this, where do you rank them? Better than the Tampa Bay Lightning team that won 2 years and got to three straight Stanley Cup Finals teams, like this Florida Panthers team would be in that case?
I would say very similar, and maybe yes, better, because they had the build. They had to lose game one and then that first Stanley Cup final and then come back and win it back to back after that, versus Tampa that kind of petered out and lost that last one. So maybe yes, maybe they would be better, and then they would have that Florida Sunshine State Supreme.
All right, and before we go, JVT, my goodness, Pacers 2, Thunder 1. Talk about a game four that means everything. I mean, obviously, no one game means everything, but it sure feels like game four in Indiana tomorrow night has that feel to it. Pacers, 6-point dogs. Are you surprised by that number?
So I am and I'm not, right? We were talking about this last night here, actually, at Rocco's. We were having drinks because we were talking about what the opening line was going to be. And I was like, it's probably going to be 6. And sure enough, it opens up 6. And why? Because, Gills, we've seen throughout this entire postseason, for whatever reason, if you lose a game, you get upgraded for the next game. Now, if you're just playing these straight-up losers, you're hitting it well over a 60% clip. In this round, the basic zigzag is 2-0, right? Oklahoma loses game one, they come back and cover game two. Indiana loses game two, they come back, they cover game three, they win outright. So the market is really baking these in. But to your point, man, this is a team that is now 4-4 straight up with a negative 6.9 net rating on the road in this postseason. They have yet to cover a road game, now 0-8 against the spread. You talk about the importance of needing to win this game if you're Oklahoma City. I mean, dude, if you don't, you're going to trust them that they're going to be able to extend their life if they have to go back to Indiana one more time. It's insane.
And you and I agree, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, if Indiana pulls this off, if they win this, it's the greatest postseason run ever by any North American sports team that we can think of.
I think you can say that regardless of the result, especially when you factor in the clutch run that Tyrese Haliburton has been on. I think that this should be a run that should be remembered forever despite the result.
Stormy Bonatoni, Jonathan Von Tobel, the co-host of Money Moves, which is here every single weekday right after a numbers game at, of course, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. Behave yourselves, people. Have a good time out there.
Thanks, Gil.
Live from the College World Series in Omaha, Rocco's having themselves a great time down there. Should be a fun weekend. Rocco's Pizza and Cantina in Omaha, where all the fun stuff happens. We've done all we can do. Stormy and JBT are, in fact, next from Omaha. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.